The sermon scripture comes from Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 48. This comes from the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus offers a series of teachings to his disciples and the gathered crowd. In many of his teachings, he is reinterpreting the Old Testament. "Don't suppose that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to complete. You have heard that they were told, 'Love your neighbor, hate your enemy.' But what I tell you is this: love your enemies and pray for your persecutors. Only so can you be children of your heavenly Father, who makes his sun rise on good and bad alike and sends the rain on the honest and the dishonest. If you love only those who love you, what reward can you expect? Surely the tax collectors do as much as that. And if you greet only your brothers, what is there extraordinary about that? Even the heathens do as much. There must be no limit to your goodness, as your heavenly Father's goodness knows no bounds." When did you learn that you were flawed? As a child, I was reminded daily that I was naughty, but I had no idea that I was flawed. My parents were strict, and we were kept on a pretty tight leash, so my opportunities for serious wrongdoing were limited. I sailed through childhood and adolescence and even young adulthood, operating under the notion that the world was filled with good people and bad people. And I was one of the good people. It wasn't until I was a parent that I discovered my Jekyll Hyde nature. I could be demonstrating the worst sort of motherhood at the top of my lungs when there'd be a knock at the door, and I would greet the Avon lady as if I were the Duchess of Windsor. Those were bitter moments of recognition, and I still struggle with them today. We all hurt one another, sometimes deliberately, but perhaps more frequently, inadvertently. An insensitive word, a thoughtless action, and the friends are no longer speaking. The family squabble reaches door-slamming stage. Sometimes the hurt is far deeper. How many times this year has the news been filled with carnage, with body counts, with the constant question, why? What next? Desmond Tutu, Nobel Peace Prize winner and an Anglican archbishop in South Africa, and his daughter Mpho Tutu have written a thoughtful and useful book, The Book of Forgiving: The Fourfold Path for Healing Ourselves and Our World. It's not a big book, but it's very thoughtful. It is full of examples of the wide range of evils that we humans perpetrate on one another, from bitter marital arguments to genocide. And it offers a plan to bring peace to one another and to the world. Each section includes meditations, activities, and journal topics, so it would be an effective tool for a group study. In spite of the fact that both of the Tutus are noted clergy persons, the book does not dwell on Christian principles such as were summed up in the sermon scripture. Their approach is very straightforward and based on psychological needs. He suggests that there is nothing that cannot be forgiven. That's hard to ponder. And no one undeserving of forgiveness. We begin a journey toward healing when we forgive, letting go of resentment, getting past betrayal, making our way through grief and loss. We work to find acceptance, freedom, peace. Tutu points out that the medical profession has done studies that confirm that forgiveness is good for your health, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels, reducing pain, blood pressure, levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. Back in the 80s, when Bill Hirschfeld was new here, he saw a need in our church family, a place where the growing number of divorced individuals could meet and share their woes. That divorce support group had a profound influence on me and many others. We learned to forgive ourselves and eventually begin to forgive our former spouses, and the effect was amazing. Anger and hatred consume a lot of energy. It's exhausting to sustain even a low level of anger, and it's corrosive, eating away at your own well-being and self-esteem, while the object of your anger is totally unaffected. Forgiving is good for you physically, and it lets you move on with your life. Forgiveness takes practice and a willingness to try. It is not easy. It is not a sign of weakness, and it doesn't subvert justice. Forgiveness doesn't relieve someone of responsibility for what he or she has done. It does not erase accountability. It is simply about understanding that every one of us is both inherently good and inherently flawed. Nelson Mandela was an angry man, bitter about the effects of apartheid on his country and his people when he was sentenced to prison. For 27 years, he studied the problems that led him there, and at the end, a different man emerged, one touched by forgiveness, ready to lead his country, not to seek retribution, but to seek reconciliation and honor. As parents, we have exercised the forgiveness muscle in all the small ways that make family life tolerable, and we may feel we have trained for a forgiveness marathon, but we're never fully prepared. Do you remember that day last June when a young man walked into a historic black church in Charleston, South Carolina, and joined a Bible study group, only to turn on them and kill 9? Do you also remember what family members did a few days later? They requested permission to meet with Dylan Roof, the young man, in order to forgive him. How does one find the strength to face someone who has torn a family apart and forgive him? Practice and a recognition that we are all flawed. Only through forgiveness can we see the humanity in others. Only through forgiveness do we gain freedom from the burden of being a victim. We all need to be forgiven, and we all need to forgive. It's the only way we can hang on to our humanity, and it is what God requires of us. So be it.